back live on the air on this beautiful Monday, April 15th, 2019. We are a few minutes early. Nothing wrong with that. Thank you for being here. Another one-hour episode with Winfrey and Terry Brown, located in Sedona. My name is Gijs Minderhout, located in Los Molinos, California. I have not seen an announcement email yet to see what the topic is, what will happen. Let's just hang tight. I will play one of Win's songs in the meantime as we wait for more people to join in. As this is, as usual, a simulcast with a conference call. And let's see. And of course, as every day, we do the whole planet healing call, which is per phone. You can call in, conference call. 7 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. These days, daylight saving time. And the phone number is 1-712-770-4340. The access code is 250-513-pound. You can find the information also on the website www.wholeplanethealing.com. And we have been doing it for a couple of years now, and I believe that what we are doing makes a significant difference for the highest good of all on a global level, with putting possible earthquakes and volcanoes in the love light to prevent the worst to happen, and also with on a political level with the weather conditions. And of course, you can put your own stuff in there as well, as long as you are there and keep it in your mind, and our sources are with us when we do this. All right. Excuse me. I'm still looking for one of Winnie's songs. All right, let's do this one. The reason is to love you. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Prudy.
It is Prudy. Hello, Prudy. How do you do?
I do well, thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here.
You bet. I like that music.
You do?
Yeah.
You know who it is?
No. I only heard a couple of notes.
Winfrey.
Oh, Mr.
She
Win.
Won his songs. All right, let me restart this song. Here we go.
Okay.
I am a spirit traveler. I come from nowhere. I live here. I walked many lonely roads. I've been everywhere that you fear. Been everybody's father. I've been everybody's son. I watched one man finish what another's just begun. Would you believe me? If I told you that the reason I am here is the love you. I wandered in the desert, I almost died of thirst. I stood behind every man who was trying to be first. I've had a million.
Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Mr. Herman, welcome.
Thanks.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
Hi, it's Jeannie in Citrus Heights.
Hello, Jeannie. Welcome.
Hi, Jeannie.
Thank you. Hi.
All right, and I welcome all those that are listening in through BBS. Thank you for being here. And we are at past the clock of 6, so we wait for Wynn to be here hopefully soon. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Roger in Austin.
Hello, Roger. Welcome.
Thank you, guys.
Roger.
Hi, Don.
You guys like Indian food?
I do.
All depends.
Yeah, that's true. I've had bad Indian food. Cooked some dal and rice. Dinner turned out pretty good.
Sounds healthy.
Yeah, they don't eat cows in India.
No cows. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, hi, and everybody. Shirley from Ohio.
Hello, Shirley. Good evening.
Hi,
welcome.
Shirley.
Hi, Shirley.
Thank you. Hello.
All the Indian restaurants around here, after a while, they wouldn't get enough customers, so they, like, Americanize their menus and take most of the spices out of the food.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go out of business.
Yeah, I like Indian food. It's just if it's too spicy, I can't do it.
I mean, hot, like heat.
Yeah, like heat hot spicy.
Yeah, I don't like that either. I like the herbs and spices.
Yeah, the herbs. And I like the healthiness of it.
Yeah. And the vegetarianism. Well, it's not all vegetarian there.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
A positive greetings, hi, from Sedona.
Hello, Raiden. Welcome.
Hi, my friend. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Raiden.
Equally with you. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, Eyes.
Hello, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
And do I sound clear? Do I sound clear?
Loud and clear, yes.
I got a
new microphone.
Wow.
All right.
I think it's better than...
The old one sounded kind of fuzzy at times.
I know. I think this one is the best I've ever had.
All right.
Yes, it sounds good. It sounds clear.
Oh, yeah.
Well, here we are on this beautiful Monday, and we are live on BBS Radio, and I welcome everyone that's listening in online. Thank you for being here. And somebody else joined in on the call. Welcome. Please say your name and location. But, of course, only if you want to, we welcome you. Thank you for being here.
We had a dusting of snow here this morning.
Oh, my.
Nothing but chemtrails and stuff.
I'd rather have snow.
Yeah. Somebody else joined in. Welcome. Please say their name and location.
Hi, it's Terry from Dallas.
Hello, Terry. Welcome.
Hello. Hi. Hey, Don.
Yeah, the chemtrails have been terrible over here in Northern California the last couple of weeks.
I thought it was all going to stop.
Did you guys hear about Notre Dame?
Yes.
Yes.
I watched the whole thing.
It's on fire.
University?
Church. Fire's all the way out now.
Church in France?
Paris.
Cathedral in Paris.
Oh.
The famous cathedral in Paris. You know, last week, somebody sent me an email with what's going on in Paris since because of their immigration policy. And pictures, 10 pictures of the streets of Paris. And it was kind of mind-blowing. it's like, you know, a number of countries in Europe have created open immigration. And would you like to say your name and your city? All right. Jerry, that was record time. Good work.
Hi.
Hey, Ben, move your microphone a little bit away from you.
Hi, Terry.
Your new microphone.
How is that? Is that better? Is that better?
Yeah. I think so, because it was crackling once now and then.
Well, if I start talking really loud, it might start to crackle. Right?
It does. Yes, it does. Yes.
So I'll try not to talk loud, okay? But
we had two more people join in. Welcome to the call. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Dr. Art in Hampton, Virginia.
Welcome, Dr. Art.
Thank you, Dr. Art. Hey there, Ben.
Anyone else? So, Ben, please continue your talk on Paris. I will turn off the things.
So, you know, some months ago, I was researching this, and there were many countries that had open immigration policies that were having nightmares. And you know what? It's amazing. You never see this in our news. But you can look it up on YouTube. And I'm not prejudiced against Muslims, but they happen to be Muslims. And they were creating little communities, like ghettos, where they were practicing Sharia law, which was not the law of the country. And the countries were not enforcing their laws against the Muslims. And they were having sit-downs on public streets. I mean, God knows what. Like in the pictures of Paris, how Paris was being destroyed, there's all kinds of pictures of people living in tents, garbage all around the Eiffel Tower, guys peeing on the subway right in front of everybody, right? And, you know, in reading about all of these towns that were having open immigration, white women were afraid to go out on the street in certain areas because they were getting raped all the time, you know? So people should know about this, because this whole wall in Mexico is far more than just being mean and keeping out poor immigrants, you know? It's a certain protection for our way of life. In other words, if you have a home, you don't let everyone into it unless you're silly like us, which we've tried, but it doesn't work because your home loses its ability to function out of, you know? It's your sacred space to be centered. And if you let people in because they're homeless, it becomes a nightmare. I always used to do this. Very rarely did it work out well. I remember in Berkeley, I had somebody staying overnight at my apartment, and in the morning, my guitar was missing. But it takes a certain amount of enforcement to deal with people who are really poor. And because you can't sacrifice your own way of life for other people. You have to be able to keep yourself centered and focused. And opening our borders up without any restriction. Who's making all that noise? Let's see here. Opening our borders up. Who is that?
Muted now.
Okay. Opening one's borders without any restrictions is like opening your home up to everyone that's needy. And, if that's your mission, you can do it, you know? But it changes your way of life and your ability to focus and your ability to function in the way you were before that happened. It becomes a constant workout with people in your environment that usually have, and this, you know, I mean, if you do this carefully, you can succeed at it. Years ago, when I used to sell sunglasses and I needed helpers, I started out saying, well, I'll just pick up some homeless people and bring them down as helpers. And they'll be so grateful and they can make some money. And there was one case that it worked out successfully. And I loved this guy. He was total eccentric. He parked his car. Did he have a car? No, he didn't have a car. I don't know. He slept. He found places to sleep. And he lived near the Hare Krishna temple, and he considered himself a Hare Krishna. And he would go to the temple and chant and eat their food. And he had a certain amount of blessings around him. And he could sleep on the street, and he didn't get in trouble, okay, that I know of ever, except he sometimes did drugs. And somebody's calling me. Hang on, just one second. Don't go away.
All right.
Hello? Okay. Am I back?
You are back.
Yeah. And his name was Starley. And I used to pick him up and take him to my apartment, make him take a shower, sometimes let him spend the night there the night before. And he was the most lovable guy, and he was always helpful. And Terry, you remember Star, right? Terry?
Give him a minute.
Yeah, I remember Star. Yeah.
Didn't you like Star?
I did.
Yeah.
I did like Star.
Yeah, he was a gem, in spite of himself, right?
I think.
And then,
yeah.
Then there was another guy I picked up. one time who lived, I had a little storage place or a little office place, and he lived on the street outside of my office, and he was fairly smart, and his name was Paul, and I took him to a show, and he was unruly. I mean, he was driving customers away, you know, and I said, that's the last I'll ever work with him again. And I didn't. But 6 months later, the guy brought me to tears because it was, I had to take a bus. I had left my car at a dealer and a mechanic, and I had to go pick it up. So I had to take the bus to the dealer. And who was on the bus but this guy, Paul? And he was all cleaned up. He was looking good. And he told me, I changed his life. I changed his life. I said, why? He said, and he had this briefcase, and he opened it up. It was full of watches. And he said, I'm earning my living going around selling watches. And it's thanks to you. And I rented the place, and I'm not on the street. So even though he was not good to work with, the one time I took him out, he suddenly saw that it wasn't that hard to exchange with people and have them spend money, and it changed his life. But in any case, these were two exceptions, and the second one wasn't even exactly an exception, although I'm certainly glad I did it, even though it didn't work out for me. But in any case, I have a feeling this fire in the Cathedral of Notre Dame was probably arson. And they may cover that up, but we'll see what happens. Somebody is going to try to make the case and prove it. And I don't think the governments would admit it if it was arson, you know, because they do not want to change their policy. And within the context of their policy, guys, can you watch all of the background noise? Because I want to leave the mics open, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. Within the context of the policy was...
We're also not recording yet, you know that.
Yeah, no. I'll just finish this one thing and then we'll start. Okay. Within the context of their policy was wanting to create havoc. I mean, as we know, or most of you know, and if you don't know, I can say it, and it's, you know, this is hard to believe the first time you hear it, but there is the background agenda of what's called the shadow government to destroy a huge amount of the population, okay? And when you see things like chemtrails, when you see things like vaccines that have harmful things in them, and forcing people to take the vaccines, and perhaps even GMOs, it's all part of this agenda to do away with the population. Even in California, most of you know about the fires in California, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that there's no way they could have happened as a natural thing. And then you can go on YouTube and look, you'll see the homes in neighborhoods that were destroyed, and they were actually melted. It wasn't like a normal forest fire. The homes were melted, and the trees and the shrubbery in between the homes were intact. So the speculation was that there was some kind of directed energy laser, which we have. We have those. That's public knowledge or somewhere out there. And directed energy lasers that had to hit the houses to melt them without the trees and the brush being destroyed. Right? And Hines, you lived in paradise. You saw that, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And yet,
you know, one example I had, I have a lady next to my front door, actually. We had one of those aluminum boats in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And then parts of that boat were completely molten, and part were in complete good shapes. The most was in complete good shape still. But
mm-hmm.
It looks like a snake I have laying in front of my door over here. It's
mm-hmm.
the molten part of that boat, yeah. It's kind of odd.
And there were some situations where there were cars driving on the highways, and they were singled out and just melted, you know, as I recall. But in any case, this is the world we live in today, and it's going to be that way until it changes, if it changes. And we're going to have to learn to work around it and keep our eyes open very carefully. And it doesn't help to go around in self-righteousness or disgust, because there's thousands and thousands and thousands of YouTube videos disclosing all of this stuff. And you know, whenever you watch a YouTube video, you can never be sure if it's a disinformation video or a real video, okay? You have to, well, you can, you know, usually I can tell. Usually, what is that noise there? Who's talking?
No longer.
Okay, so let's mute the dings and let's start the recording. And today is April 13th. It's today.
15.
15?
15, yes.
Muted. This conference is being recorded.
This is April 15th, 2019, Wynn and Terry in Sedona. This is our Monday night call. And I think I'm going to do somewhat of an open mic today. And I hope some of you that never talk will talk. And one of the things I want to talk about is, I know that you guys that keep coming to these calls are getting benefit. And occasionally someone says it. I know that many of you have the wanderer syndrome, where you feel like you don't fit in and you're alienated. And suddenly, with our materials, it all starts to make sense to you. And you're increasing your understanding of yourself. And I think you're increasing your vibrational rate and your functionality. And you're certainly increasing your self-acceptance of yourself. You know, I was reading some of those things from the raw material last night and the night before. I did a replay last night. And they addressed just that, you know, how you get through polarity. And I thought, I know those things. I know them. I apply them to myself. I understand polarity. I understand how people swing from one side to the other. And sometimes in the real world, when somebody is like that, they're diagnosed as manic depressive. But in fact, at least I've never asked this question to our sources, but I'm pretty sure that people that have that particular, what should I call it? I was going to call it a malady, but I don't want to call it a malady because it makes it sound like there's something wrong with you. That particular effect of swinging from being blissed out on one hand to being totally crazy and paranoid and angry on the other hand, and they go back and forth, are actually people who are more evolved. And as you get more evolved, those swings become faster, okay? For example, for most people who would be less evolved, it's like life is somewhat, this is my take, it's somewhat of a crapshoot. Like, they'll have a good life, then they have a terrible life, then they have a good life, and then they'll have a terrible life, and they're still swinging, but the swinging takes from one lifetime to the other. And then it swings faster, and it might be from 1 week or 1 month to the other, where they're having a difficult time, and then they have a good, you know, they're more balanced. And then it gets to be like they can switch every day. And people who see them in their the upside of their cycle and then see them in the downside of their cycle, then will think they're crazy, you know? Even I go through that. You know, going through whole planet healing every day, I have nowhere to hide. You know, when I'm doing public things every so often, I make sure that I take the time to be balanced, not do anything, do whatever I need to do to be balanced. So by the time I'm in front of the public, I'm not in the downside of my cycle. But on whole planet healing, it's like I can't do that. And so you guys see me going through that. And I'm getting better and better. And I can see I'm getting more under control, but I still go through it. Now, when I'm on the downside of my cycle, it's not like I'm angry or pissed. It's that I'm tired. And I'm not taking the time. Like, if all I did was whole planet healing, and all I did was take my time to stay in balance every day, I probably would be more more stable, okay, or dependable with my energy. But I can't. I have too many things to do. And I'm supposed to get this workout. And, you know, for a period of time, I was spending a lot of time keeping Terry healthy and cooking and everything. So it's like I didn't stop, though. I thought of it. I thought of stopping, but I didn't stop because I know that on some level we are digging a trench, setting down a groove of energy that even when I'm not on, enough of you are on, so it holds the energy. And we're still digging the groove. And I've talked about it so that you even understand what's going on. Because otherwise, if somebody, you know, sees me on one of my downsides, then somebody new will probably make judgments. So I'm not encouraged to go and bring in lots of new people while I'm going through those swings. And it's harder. It's harder when there's new people on the line. But then I started playing the replays of times when I'm really on, and that's much better than me doing a bad job, you know? And I wanted, you know, we are not static. We are evolving all the time. Every moment is a new moment of creation. And the better job I do and the better job you do of stepping into that moment, the more we get energy flow in what we're doing, okay? And it's not to judge yourself when you're not there, to recognize it's part of your cycle. And learning how to work with your cycles. And the more you work with your cycles, the more you can observe your cycles, the more you can not judge yourself for the downside of your cycle, the faster you recover. But fast doesn't mean in a day, because these are patterns that have been embedded in our history, our karma, past lives, etc. And it's like reprogramming yourself to get above those things. And it's work. It's like in one of the Wilcox channelings, they say it's not often that a person can overcome all these things in one lifetime. But you start. And if you apply yourself, maybe you can. I'm not over it. Terry's not over it. We still go through cycles. We still have our downsides. And I never try to present myself as a perfect master. And I'm not so sure there is such a thing. You know, again, if you're traveling, you're only showing up on the high sides of your cycles or keeping yourself up, you can give the appearance of being a perfect master. And you can say that. And your energy is good and your energy is clean and your aura goes out to a group and you can create that illusion. And maybe there are people that actually can hold the space totally clear no matter when. But I haven't met them. In fact, one of the interesting things I learned, and I used to, when I was younger and I was pursuing spiritual pursuits, and going to different, you know, in San Francisco, I was going to different gurus and different people lecturing. And usually I was very impressed with how good the energy was. And over time, I learned many of the people that I was seeing were having sex. And some of them acted like they didn't have sex, that they were celibate. Even like one of the greatest teachers, this doesn't take away somebody being a great teacher. And I don't mean to say it like it takes away, but two of the greatest teachers, when I started studying it, were Paramahansa Yogananda and Krishnamurti. Those were two people. I don't know if you know who they are. Yogananda was more famous than Krishnamurti. But Paramahansa used to have, I'm assuming this was accurate, and it seemed like it was, used to have women staying at his ashram home, and they would, different ones would spend the night with him, you know? And Krishnamurti was having a relationship with his secretary. Now, I don't think they're obligated to confess to the world about their relationships. Although, from a worldly standpoint, when people have relationships, when they have a good, committed relationship, they're more acceptable in society. They're more balanced. And they're socially acceptable. And when people are doing these, taking the role of spiritual teachers of sort, they're in a different situation. And they're probably not going to be accepted by society in a normal way. They're not going to go out to dinner with their neighbors. You know, they're going to stay focused on their teaching. And it's harder for them to have a relationship unless the relationship is in alignment with the path of their teaching. And luckily enough, I have that kind of relationship with Terry, where it's kind of good to be able to have a relationship with someone who you're working with on the same spiritual path and is vital to that path. But if I wasn't with Terry, I probably would have relationships that were very private. I wouldn't tell anybody about them, because you can have a relationship, an intimacy, and the person is not going to even understand everything you're doing when your spiritual work, you know? So, I'm rattling on here. Hives, are you there? Hello, Hives. Is anyone hearing me? Are we unmuted? Terry, are you there? I better check my computer to make sure.
No, we're good. We're good.
I hear you, man.
We're good?
Yes.
We hear you.
You hear me? Is everyone unmuted?
The lines are muted. You want me to unmute the phone lines?
Yeah, unmute the phone lines, okay?
All right. Here it goes.
Unmuted.
So, anybody want to make any comments to this?
Oh, I want to ask you, do you ever notice it being a female spiritual teacher who behaves like you said? Behave sounds like judgmental, but...
Well, I would guess female teachers would be different, okay? You know, the whole apparatus of intimacy is different for a man and a woman in most cases, okay? Like, men have a need to release, okay? Women, and this is like archetypal, this doesn't mean that everyone is like this, because they're not, but in general, women have a need to nurture. And the woman gets fulfilled from nurturing the man. And the man gets a release. And it makes him be more focused. It makes him feel more balanced. A woman can still have a release. I'll bet no one is going to admit to any of this, but I'm sure it's true. All right, so don't admit it. But you know, I've studied this stuff. I studied myself. I pay attention to myself. You know, probably more men masturbate than women. That doesn't mean that women don't. But if men don't get a release, I mean, why is it in general you have female prostitutes? If the need for that connection was as important for both men and women, then you'd have male prostitutes servicing women. Now, I'm sure there are some, so there's all kinds of variations, but certainly in general, it's a male thing to do that, not a woman's thing. You know, I remember a saying that said, men give love for sex, and women give sex for love, okay? And there's something to that. I say that it's one of those resolutions of polarity that only resolves in the law of one. And that's where people can feel the other person and if they don't do what makes the other person happy, then the energy from the other person stops coming back to them. And so it's one of those things that you have to do what makes the other person happy, okay?
At least in 3D, huh?
And they have to do what makes you happy. And you have to do it without feeling controlled by it, okay? Because if you feel controlled by it, it doesn't work. Then you say, you think I'm going to spread my legs every time you need it? No, I'm not your sex slave, right? And women feel that a lot. It's not that the men want a sex slave, but they have their urgencies in their physical system that if they don't deal with it, they get really out of balance. It's just the way it works. It's like somehow it was designed that way, and that makes sure the race procreates. Because, you know, if men didn't have that crazy urgency, then we might have a big population reduction, right?
I have a comment on that.
Go ahead.
Well, I have heard from spiritual teachers that men should learn to control their first chakra. It's part of spirituality because we have the animal nature, yes, but the animal nature is also, you know, punching you in the face or judging someone. So we have to learn to control that physical side of ourselves. Just a comment, I understand the point, what you're saying, and men are different. But I just thought I'd throw that in there about spiritual because I don't think it's a done deal.
You know, as I was mentioning, all of those spiritual teachers that I looked up to that I thought were celibate were, you know? And even the teacher that was one of my major influences that I thought was celibate, he had three guys that he was rotating with, you know? And did that make his teaching less valid? You know what it did? It made his personal ethics slightly compromised, or majorly compromised, the way he did it. But when I sat in the room with him, I could feel the energy of the spirit in that room. And I knew he was wise. He was the wisest person I had ever come across in understanding human nature up till that time, you know? So
when
I mean, I've read about, believe me, I'll let you start just like this one. I used to read everything, and I read about celibacy, and I read about bringing the energy up to the higher levels. And, you know, there was a conversation I had with our sources through Terry. They say, yes, it brings your energy up to the higher, it can bring your energy up to the higher chakras when you're not having sex, when you're being celibate. The problem is your lower chakras are out of balance. They don't usually stay. I'm not saying this is, again, everyone is a totally unique situation. So what I'm saying may not be true for you, but in general, I think this is true. That, you know, another thing is, it's not just having sex. It is the quality of the sex. It is your ability to be balanced during sex depends on the vibrational exchange you're having with the other person, okay? And if the vibrational exchange doesn't include the higher chakras, the sex is only temporarily balancing, and you go out of balance really fast, and it becomes a craving. When it does include the higher chakras, it's very balanced, because you're giving the energy to someone else who gives it back to you, who gives you give it back to them. That is the nature of Tantra, okay? That exchange of energy back and forth. When it's in lower levels, you give energy to someone else, and it's a release, but the energy doesn't come back to you, and therefore it doesn't stick very long. That's my experience. Okay, now somebody wanted to say something. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to say when Jesus, if we believe what Man Who Walked, Terry Friedman, Matthew, says Jesus was not celibate, but he didn't lie about it either. You know, I mean, I think part of the problem is people posing as being, you know, ultra pure or something by being celibate, and then they're not even,
yeah.
They're not even celibate, you know?
Yeah, according to Terry Friedman, Jesus, Mary was the 13th disciple and would pretty much go on the road and be Jesus'
and they would twin flame.
Yeah, and
they would
be
twin
Jesus.
Flame, so it was a very high level of, you know,
right.
Of, you know.
Right, right. So, I mean, you can't just follow a rule and say, okay, Wynn says sex is good, so let me go see who I can have an exchange with tonight, you know? Because that could end up worse than, much worse than being celibate, okay?
And then I also wanted to say one thing about the energy. The whole idea that that celibacy might be at least temporarily at times a positive thing. The whole idea is that through meditation you are supposed to try to raise that energy through your spine, and in the process you open up all the chakras. You know, it's not just I mean, what it's come down as is just your some kind of vague idea that you're more pure if you don't have sex. And,
mm-hmm.
and consequently, people just repress their sexual energy. And that's not
no.
what helps. You have to raise
yeah.
that energy up through your spine.
You know, I do feel that women and men are different, and that women, because they don't need the release in the same way a man does, might be more successful at doing that. A man might have to go masturbate and then do it, okay? And otherwise, his energy is all blocked up, okay? Now, I'm in a man's body, so I know what I'm talking about. I'm not in a woman's body, and I can only try to feel what it feels like. And I can be empathetic, and I might be right, but, you know, I don't have the experience of it this lifetime. I probably do in some other lifetime in the past. But I'll bet I don't... any men want to say their experience on this? Come on, guys.
I'm a female, and I beg to differ with you. I think it's a release for women, too.
Yeah. Well, I didn't say that it wasn't a release for women. And I said also that everybody is different. Everybody.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So within, you know, you can't make a statement that fits everybody and say this is true for all men or this is true for all women, because I am absolutely sure it's not. And there are women that definitely need releases, and I've known some of them, and they're out of balance if they don't have it, right? And I don't know about men that don't need release. There probably are some. There are probably some that are that don't. But in general, this is kind of the way it works, from my experience. And when you know, I can tell you, for years, I bought into this idea, I'm just going to meditate, and I'm going to move my energy up to the higher chakras, right? And I think I walked around with 3 years of headaches at that time. And I said, why isn't this working? And I said, well, maybe I'm not spiritually evolved enough. What's going on here? You know, I must be spiritually evolved, or I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now, and I wouldn't have all this insight. At that time, I wasn't sure. I was trying to figure it out. And it's a major thing that everyone has to figure out for themselves. You know, talking about self-pleasure, there's an aspect of that which I figured out, which I never hear anybody talk about, but I'll talk about it. Boy, this is not what I wanted to talk about tonight. How did I trip into this? Okay. but I'll share it with you. It's that when you have sex, you are having sex not just with a person. You're having sex with an energy field of that person, right? And as you become more expansive, you have integrated the experience of the feminine energy into your own energy system, or the male energy, if it's a woman, right? Or even if it's two women, probably one of them has more of a male energy and one has a female energy. Probably everything under the sun is possible. But when you're able to integrate the energy of the other sex, and sometimes you have to have experience with the other sex in order to do that. You can think about it all you want, but when you have the experience of it, you are now energizing your system with the male energy or the female energy through the exchange with the other person. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So now, as you've learned to do that, now if you do self-service, you're more of a hermaphrodite, so to speak, because you have a strong enough creative fantasy to create the energy field of the feminine and release into that energy field, even though the body isn't there. And so it becomes more fulfilling, you know? Anyone have that experience? God, no one's going to admit this.
It's but also that's my, used in magic.
It's what?
Also used in magic because of the energy.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And, you know, in one interesting channeling that I had with Terry, there was a while that I was reading a guy by the name of Dan Winter, who is kind of amazing. Have you guys heard of Dan Winter?
Yes.
Yeah. And I don't know where he knows everything he knows it from, but he has a tremendous knowledge of things that almost nobody has knowledge of, like Orions and Orion Queens and what's he call it? You can look him up. It's kind of hard to understand the first time you're looking, but talking about implosion of your field to get through the veil. And he says something, and he says, the way you get to implode your field is through orgasm, right? And with no ifs, ands, and buts, right? So at one point, I asked the question to our sources about Dan Winter, because, you know, when somebody is bringing through information that I don't know where they got it and how it came to them, because he does that, and he just speaks as like, this is true. But I've had enough experience with the information he was bringing through that I said, you know, I know this is true, and I know this is true. Maybe this is true as well, you know? Because, you know, I talk about a lot of things that very few people have experiences of, an understanding of. You know, going back to the Anunnaki and Enki and Enlil and the Old Testament and Jesus, no one talks about Jesus in the way that I talk about Jesus, that Jesus was a manifestation of the Ra group. And it's not the first thing I would say in a public talk if I want to win friends and influence people, because too many people would think that was sacrilegious or the devil or something. So, but the evidence from my own research, and we've gone over it at different times in the past, has said that that makes more sense than anything else, because who is the Father? Who is the Father? And, you know, even when I ask the question directly, you know, this is, you know, you guys have heard the background on this. One thing was in David Wilcox channeling, which was in the book that I wrote. We came to you in our religion, Christianity, but we don't often speak in those terms much anymore because of the way religion screwed it up. And, that was the very first time that I said, we came to you in our religion, wow, what are they saying? And I started to think, what if I'm writing this book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, with the current messages from the same source Jesus called Father, you know? And I told David, I said, you know, I think this might be true. I said, we should put that in the book. What do you think? He said, no, we'll have fundamentalists chasing us around the block. But I did research it. And I'm not going to go over all the things that I came up with that validated that premise. But one of the things was that that I was having a channeling with Daphne. And, you know, Daphne comes from a background of being a Catholic and believing in Catholicism and believing in the rituals of it. And while she was channeling, she had to put that aside. And I asked in one of the channelings, when Jesus said, Father, who was talking to him? And I said, was it the one infinite creator? Was it the Elohim? And the answer was, as you would understand it, it would have been the Ra group. And that would have been the last thing Daphne would say. And yet that's what she said. Okay?
So, a bit out of time, man.
Pardon me? We're out of time?
We are out of time.
Oh, my God. This was supposed to be an open mic. All right. I'll see you.
Monday.
Hey, Wynn, this is Janine. Did you get an email from me?
I did. I'm not forgetting. I'm going to call you, okay? We got to get off this. BBS is going to call us.
I just want to make sure you got it.
So we'll see you all on Whole Planet Healing. 712-770-4340, 501-026. 712-770.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
770-4340.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Love you all.
Your conference recording has stopped. Goodbye.